The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Since the Passover of the Jews was near, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He found in the temple area those who sold oxen, sheep, and doves, as well as the money changers seated there. He made a whip out of cords and drove them all out of the temple area with the sheep and the oxen, and spilled the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And to those who sold doves, he said, "Take these out of here and stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples recalled the words of Scripture, "Zeal for your house will consume me." At this, the Jews answered and said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. Therefore, when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they came to believe the Scripture and the word Jesus had spoken. While he was in Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover, many began to believe in his name when they saw the signs he was doing. But Jesus would not trust himself to them because he knew them all and did not need anyone to testify about human nature. He himself understood it well. The Gospel of the Lord. God, so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Once again, welcome back, everybody, and to all you people out there watching TV land, right? You're part of this, too. Start you out this morning with a little question, okay? True or false, right? True or false, Jesus was always nice to people. True or false? False. I hope you can tell. Knocking over the tables of the money changers at the crack of a bullwhip is not what most people would call nice behavior, okay? Neither were half the things he said to the Pharisees down through the Gospels. Go through the Gospels and look at some of the things that Jesus said. He called the Pharisees a brood of vipers, blind guides, hypocrites and frauds, whitewashed tombs. If Jesus Christ could walk this world today, I guarantee you, people would accuse him of being unchristlike. No joke, right? Was Jesus nice to people? No, he was not always nice to people, okay? So here's another question for you. True or false? Was Jesus Christ always loving to people? True, absolutely always. You know what that shows us? That shows us something really interesting. That being nice to people and loving people are often diametric opposites one from the other. Love is a mysterious thing. An unconditional love takes many mysterious forms. Sometimes being nice to someone is not loving them. And sometimes when you love somebody, it means that you're not nice to them. Because let's remember what the word love means, okay? What's the word love mean? Love is not a feeling. Love is a choice. Love is a decision to do what's best for somebody else, no matter what it costs you. And whether the other person likes it or not, or knows it or not, very mysterious reality love is. Part of the reason why our world has such a bland understanding of love is because it has such a bland understanding of who Jesus Christ is. Look at this guy. Throwing over the tables of the money changers at the crack of a bullwhip. Now that's the real Jesus. It's an adventure to follow this man. You never know what he's going to ask of you next. Be careful that your understanding of Jesus Christ is not just a projection of your own mind. Make sure it's informed by the real scriptures, the real Jesus Christ, the lived examples of the saints, the teachings of the church. The real Jesus Christ makes demands of us, raises the bar high, gives commandments to us, asks of us a sacrifice. The last thing Jesus ever is bland as dishwater. Now, this is one of the best weeks that we can hear this message. One of the very best weeks as we hear the story of the cleansing of the temple. Right when Jesus knocks over the tables of the money changers at the crack of a whip, that's known as the cleansing of the temple, or it's also known as the purification of the temple, because the prophet Malachi said that when the Messiah came, he was going to purify the temple. Okay, so what we want to do is we want to understand what this means. Why did Jesus do this? Now, there's a simple answer to that question, and there's a deeper answer to that question. Let's take a look at each one, okay? First, let's understand the simple reason why Jesus did this. Simple reason why Jesus did this is because people were profiteering in the name of God and crowding people out from prayer in the temple. Now, the temple in Jerusalem, do you know what that is? The temple in Jerusalem was the center of the world if you were an Israelite living in Jesus' time. Center of the world. It was considered to be no less than the dwelling place of God on earth. Question for you. Is there still a temple in Jerusalem? There is not. Okay? There is not still. Lots of synagogues, but no temple. Temple was destroyed by the ancient Roman army. The year was 70 AD. Whole other story. Not going to get into that now. Okay? But while it stood, the temple was the center of the whole world, dwelling place of God on earth, a place of sacrifice and praise. So, question is, why were there money changers in the temple? Why were there money changers in the temple in the first place? Here's why. Here's why. It's because people offered animal sacrifices in the temple in accordance with the commands of the book of Leviticus, right? So, for example, Mary and Joseph, when they presented the baby Jesus in the temple, in the Gospel of Luke, it said they offered a sacrifice of a pair of turtle doves in the temple. Now, if you lived around the corner from the temple, it was easy to offer a pair of turtle doves. All you had to do was get your turtle doves and walk around the corner. But Jewish people came to the temple in Jerusalem from all over the known world. They came from Greece, and they came from Egypt, and they came from faraway Rome. And you know, if you're going to make a journey of 1,000 miles to Jerusalem, you don't begin by bringing your livestock along for the trip. So what did people do? They bought the animal when they got there. They bought the animal when they arrived. That's why there were money changers in the temple, to change the foreign currency, right? It's not like they had PayPal. It's not like they had Bitcoin, right? You change the foreign currency. What happened was, They were exchanging at an exorbitant rate. I've heard it estimated at 50 times the actual cost. 50 times. And they were crowding people out from the space reserved to prayer. That's why Jesus says, stop making my Father's house a marketplace. But that's just the simple answer. We want to focus on the deeper answer. Why did Jesus do this? Here's the deeper reason. The reason Jesus did this in the temple is because the worship of God was about to change. That's why he did it. It's a deeper reason. The reason Jesus did this in the temple is that the worship of God was about to shift from being focused on the temple to being focused on the person of Jesus Christ. The worship of God was about to change from animal sacrifices in symbolic forgiveness of sins to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, right, in real forgiveness of sins. The worship of God was about to change from being focused on the temple as the dwelling place of God to something much more mysterious. St. Paul said it best. St. Paul said, you are the temple of God. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. Why did St. Paul say, you're the temple of God? You want to know why? is because as a consequence of Christ's grace in you, because of baptism, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, dwells in you, you and I. We become the temple of the living God, the presence of God on earth. The reason Jesus purifies the temple is because he wants to clean house in our hearts. That's why he does it. The reason why Jesus purifies the temple is because he wants a pure place where spiritual sacrifices are offered in his name. In the Old Testament, prophets used to do highly symbolic actions to make an important point. Jesus is acting like an Old Testament prophet right here. Highly symbolic action to make a really important point. He wants a pure temple. And that means he wants to clean house. Now, this is the perfect opportunity for me to tell you just briefly about the importance of making a sacramental confession. Okay? Our first reading was on the Ten Commandments. Gospel readings on the purification of the temple, and it's the season of Lent, for goodness sakes. It's time to talk just briefly about the importance of making a sacramental confession. Now, when the subject of sacramental confession comes up, people inevitably ask, why should I go to confession? That's what people ask. And by that, they mean to ask two things. People mean to ask, why should I confess my sins to a priest? And they also mean, why should I go to confession at all? Let's look at each one of those, okay? Why should I confess my sins to a priest? That's easy to answer. That one's easy to answer. You want to know why you should confess your sins to a priest? Because Jesus said so, that's why. It's that simple. Say, where did he say so? Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 23. He said to his apostles, whose sins you forgive, they're forgiven them. And whose sins you hold bound are held bound. And ever since that time, people have been confessing their sins out loud to a priest. If you ever want to know what the scriptures mean, ask yourself one question. What have Christians believed about it from the beginning? And that's what we've been doing since the days of the apostles. That's why you confess your sins to a priest. Right? But there's even more reasons for it. Would you believe that it's one of the healthiest things you can possibly do? Tell you a little story, okay? Tell you a little story. Once upon a time, I was taking a trip. You know, one of those great big group trips where everybody's in a great big bus, group pilgrimage. I was on a trip in one of those buses. And on the trip with me was a psychiatrist. Psychiatrist sits down next to me and we start to talk, and I say to him, you know, I wish I could know all that you know. Wish I could have gone to medical school. Wish I could have studied all that you studied. I wish I could know all that you know. It would be so helpful to me. And without missing a beat, he said to me, I wish I could know all that you know. And I said, really? And he goes, yes. And let me tell you what I wish I could know above all else. I wish I could have studied about confession. Because let me tell you, as a psychiatrist, something I've learned. Whenever people do something that they know is wrong, there's only two things they ever do about it. Either they open up and say out loud to another person that they're sorry for what they did, or they punish themselves out of guilt. It's the only two things people ever do. Either they open up and confess it, or they beat themselves up out of their own guilt. You Catholics with your confession have got the healthiest thing going in the world. Every religion ought to have something like confession. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting that what Jesus Christ himself told us to do is backed up by behavioral science? And you want to know what else you get when you go to confession? You get an absolute certainty that you've been forgiven. You don't have to live by some kind of subjective feeling and hope and wish. You hear somebody say to you, I absolve you of your sins. And you know who's saying the word I right there? We believe that Jesus Christ works through the ministry of the priest, because when somebody baptizes, who baptizes? Jesus baptizes. When somebody says Mass, who says Mass? Jesus Christ says Mass. When somebody forgives sins, who forgives sins? Jesus Christ forgives sins. That's why the priest doesn't say, Jesus forgives you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's why the priest doesn't say, God forgives you, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. When you hear the priest say, I absolve you, you can hear the words of Jesus Christ. That's why we go to confession, ladies and gentlemen, and that's why we go to a priest. But believe it or not, some people ask a second question. They say, why should I go to confession at all? I don't ever do anything wrong. Now, don't laugh. People say that, and they say that a lot. I don't ever do anything wrong. Why should I go to confession? You want to know what the answer to that is? The answer to that is a question. Does that mean you're perfect? That's the answer to that. Does that mean you're perfect? Oh, no, Father, I'm not perfect. Okay, great. Because confession does more than just forgive your sins. It's a sacrament. It gives you God's grace. You know what confession does? It makes you stronger in the very areas in which you're weakest. It makes you stronger in the very areas in which you're weakest in saying yes to God. That's why we go to confession. Not just for mortal sins, but you go to confession for venial sins as well. I'll tell you another reason why people don't go to confession. It's because they're afraid of what the priest is going to think. This happens all the time. They're afraid of what the priest is going to... Let me put that one to rest. The priest can't remember what you said, okay? He can't remember what you said. Let me tell you what it's like to hear confessions. Now, this is just me. I don't know if it's like this for everybody, but this is what it's like for me. I think hearing confessions is like taking out the garbage, okay? Now, if you were taking out your garbage and I stopped you and said, hey, tell me, what's in that bag? You'd say, I don't know. It's a bag of garbage. It all kind of blends together. Well, you hear enough confessions and it all kind of blends together. It's all garbage. You can't remember what was said. Please don't worry about that. The priest can't remember what you said. Just be sure that when you go, that you don't go the same way you go to a car wash. You know, you go to a car wash and you expect to get that car dirty again, and you're just kind of checking it off and checking it and making things better for now. You want to go to confession with a real conviction to make a difference and to make a change. And I promise you that is the best way to purify your soul for the worship of the living God. We'll end with just one last question. Just one last question. True or false? Every relationship is a mystery. True. I knew a man who was married 50 years. I said, what's your secret? He said, my secret is I stopped trying to figure her out, right? I surrendered to the mystery. Every relationship is a mystery. Here's one of the deepest mysteries of your relationship to Jesus Christ. He will not rest until your heart belongs to Him. And more to the point, He will not let you rest until your heart belongs entirely to Him. That's why we turn it all over to Him. It's the source of His greatest blessings. It's why I'm so fond of saying, if today you hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Amen.